five water.
We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome, everybody. If we can have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Madigan?
Here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Tiger?
Here.
And Supervisor Perez? Who, me? I am. Too many years doing this.
Are we paying?
No. You should be, though. Maybe we can discuss that.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, what did she not have?
Can I write notes on it, though?
Yeah.
It's okay.
All righty. Okay, so then moving on, if we can have the approval of the summary proceedings for the August 16th regular meeting.
It wasn't what we needed.
Oh, no.
August meeting is good? Okay, so if I can get a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Any not approved? All right. Moving on. Consent agenda. Do we have anything that this panel got?
Also,
then there's one where a young lady was asking how to come to our meeting.
On the agenda that we'll have to add to the agenda.
Casey.
Okay, I have a G.
Is she here? Yeah, but I wouldn't know if they were responding to.
All of the correspondences were responded to.
Madam Chairman, on the consent agenda, there's an extra piece of correspondence that is not listed on the agenda, and we will need a motion to add item F, which is correspondence from Drew Mackey, and I believe you already have it in your packet. It just was not listed on the agenda.
Okay, I have that one, yes.
Yes.
All right.
It's the same theme as the others.
Okay, so do I have a motion to accept this as an addition to the packet?
I'll make that motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
No, second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
No problem. And then we just have the one item to pull off. Do we want to go ahead and have a motion to accept the other four items for receive and file?
I make a motion to receive and file.
Items A, B, C, and D?
A, B, C, and D.
Okay. And do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right. And with item D, can we move that to new business or can we discuss it now?
You can discuss it now.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay, we have Vicki here. Do you want to discuss this? You want to let everybody know about it?
It's just want to congratulate them for 5 years and 40,000 litter down. Hey, Vicki Grasher, Critters Without Litters. That was basically our press release celebrating our 5-year anniversary. Since opening on October 1st of 2012, we have performed more than 43,500 spay neuter surgeries for cats and dogs in Kern County. And we appreciate the support of all of the various agencies who provide vouchers and information and let people know that there are options available for them. If they can't afford spay neuter through their regular veterinary services, or if they can't afford even the prices that we have, helping share information about programs that are available. The TNR program, which continues to run fairly strong, letting people know that community cats can be safely altered and returned back out there at a very reasonable price. And we'll be here as long as there's people coming through the doors. So. Thanks, everybody, for your support over the last 5 years.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Academy, yes.
Okay, so if I can have a motion, please.
I make a motion to receive and file the press release from the Critters Republic.
And do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, on to item D, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under this jurisdiction of the commission, and the commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. For those that would like to speak, please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers will be limited to 2 minutes. And before we get started, if I could ask everybody to please either turn your phones off or down so as not to interfere with somebody that might be talking. And before we get going on this, I understand we have some students from BC here today. Okay.
Raise your hands. Whoa.
Would any one of you want to maybe just fill us in as to why you're here?
Political science.
Why don't you come on up? And... My brave soul. Let us know who you are.
Hi, my name is Desiree Gomez, and I came from political science class.
Okay, and your purpose here is?
For a career.
Okay. Well, we want to welcome all of you.
What class are you taking that
it's
gives you
political
this?
Science B1.
What is it?
Political science B1.
Oh, so.
Government.
Okay. Not only that microphone's working, Amber, but...
I don't think it's working either.
Well, we want to welcome all of you.
It's kind of timed out.
Well, that's good, though. I'm glad to see that, that the teacher gave you a list of...
Thank you. Welcome, all of you. All right, so we're going to start at the first spot. You got anything, Sue?
Yeah, I do. It's been so long since I came. Okay.
Sue Bennett with Kern Humane Society. We have our fiscal year June 1st. And since June 1st, we've written over 1,700 vouchers of different types. Coupons for discounted spay neuter, emergency office visits, special funding for serious surgeries, and what I call the real vouchers, which are the outlying districts that get more than our discount coupons. So over 1,700, the end of the year showed that we had spent over $60,000 last year on vet bills. We're way into that already in less than 4 months. So I think we're going to pass that very easily in the next year. And because of the students that are here, Kern Humane Society is open to anyone. If you know of someone who has a dog or cat or pot-bellied pig that needs to be spayed or neutered, just let us know. Tell them to come to us. We will be glad to help them out. Again, emergency sickness, that's another thing that we will be willing to help with. So keep us in mind, and we'll be glad to see them. Thank you.
Sue, where are you located and what's your phone number?
Okay. The address is 2111 Brundage Lane, and I tell people it's the cross street is the Oleander. We're next door to Magoo's Pizza. And we're open from 10 to 3, Tuesday through Saturday, so we're closed Sunday, Monday. But I won't worry about phone numbers because I don't think you guys need to worry about that. We can, you can look it up. But we are there. Somebody will always be glad to help out. Whatever we can do, we will.
So what's the closest cross street?
Brundage and Oleander.
Oleander, okay.
Next door to Magoo's Pizza.
Okay.
Kids see the Magoo's Pizza.
When do you issue your coupons?
feeding the story, right?
If the students are here,
okay.
They need all the information.
That's true. I think everybody knows. First Saturday of every month, we write coupons all day long. So they don't have to, you know, come in and ask about what's going on. Just send them in and they can pick up a coupon. We write as many dog coupons as people ask for, but we kind of limit the number of cats simply because people are still paying for feral cats at times, and then they can't catch them, and so they have 15 vouchers that they never use. So we limit the number of cats unless they're sitting in their living room. We said, are your cats in your living room? If they say no, then we say, okay, you can have two this month, and two when you catch those. But we try to be pretty liberal. We don't run out. We're never going to stop people and say, oh, you can't have one because we're out of money. At this point, we're not out of money. So what help we can, we will give to anyone who asks for it.
And okay. How do you get these funds that you...
Good job.
Everyone's... We asked some questions here.
I told you she's feeding the bread. Okay, it's a thrift shop. The thrift shop is all volunteer. No one has ever been paid out of our thrift shop in 43 years. And the volunteers get donations. We turn around, sell the donations, and that money is used for the vouchers. Okay, any more questions from the audience?
Can anybody volunteer?
Anybody? Yeah, exactly. If you guys need to earn hours for your community service under any circumstances at all, we would love to have you. We will take you for 2 hours. We will take you for 5 days. Whatever you need to volunteer, we can use. Yes?
So will we, by the way.
As far as volunteers, you'd be getting whatever donations came in, maybe helping sort, clean, you know, whatever. If you hang around long enough, we'll teach you how to be a cashier. That's what my third and fourth graders do, is they learn how to be cashiers. They like that part. But we can use your help anytime. And if you just walk into the thrift shop and say, I can volunteer for 2 hours, we'll take you. And honestly, we'll find a job for you, even if you, you know, you don't have to call ahead, even. We'll put you to work.
Okay, we have a question in the back.
Yes.
Yeah, about your vouchers, you said you give vouchers out for emergency visits. Is that just for the office visit?
Office visit only.
Oh,
yes. Okay, once we find out what's wrong, then we talk about it. Okay, but we also have a program. You guys might be bumping into homeless people with dogs or cats, and if they want to come to us, we will pay for spaying their dogs, getting their rabies shots, and getting their first year license. So, you know, if they're homeless, they need to have those dogs taken care of. So we'll be glad to do that. All right? So in your wandering around, just keep that in mind. Anybody else? Yes.
So you had mentioned that you guys give out vouchers the first Saturday of the month.
Correct.
I work for Bakersfield Vet, so I'm constantly referring people to you guys.
Very good.
Do you guys still do it outside of the first of the month?
We
as well?
Do. As far as vet care, yes, anytime. If they need, you know, if they've got a problem, then we'll help them anytime we're open.
Okay.
But as far as vouchers go. The first thing I say is, do you have an appointment? And half the time they say no, and I say, okay, make your appointment for after the first of the month. But if they say, oh, yeah, I called Critters and they can get me in tomorrow, then I'm going to give them a voucher.
Okay.
Okay? It kind of depends. The problem is you can tell that I'm not feeling well, and I half the time I'm not there. And so the people who are there don't like to write vouchers. they prefer to do the clerical, the thrift shop stuff. And so that's kind of been the negative as far as writing vouchers outside that Saturday.
Oh, and plus, don't you do it for some outside events?
Oh, yeah.
Clinics and things like that.
Oh, oh sure. Liz. Liz writes vouchers on Saturday, on Friday after mornings at the city clinics.
Right.
Because the city clinics is giving out their voucher, so why make them go two places? So, if you didn't know, the city of Bakersfield, if you live in the city limits, gives a $40 discount coupon if you use Critters Without Litters only. All right. So if you use Critters Without Litters, and you're going to go and you go to the city of Bakersfield and say I've got an appointment with Critters for whatever day it is, they'll write you a voucher. And if Liz happens to be there, she'll write you one of ours. So that's $60 off your bill at Critters. Okay. Now, the other one is that Nick has kindly allowed us to. Nick and Blake have put together the ability for us to write out our discount coupons, and the people who live in this county can take that to the county animal shelter and trade it in for the low-cost county voucher that pays for you to go whatever event you want to go to.
Well, okay? Limited
and,
list.
Yeah, there's a, well, Nick will give you the list, but it gives you a lot more vets to go to. And that is, so it basically is free, unless you've got this humongously large dog that you know, goes beyond the county voucher.
And I'm there on Wednesday nights, except when we have Animal Services Commission. And I tell people that this orange piece of paper that says spay-neuter, $20 off, is like the $20 bill out of your pocket. So don't drop it between where I've written it and
where you get to the other end of the table. But there's a lot of help out there. People don't realize, and our animal control people will tell you about it if you call them. You know, they will refer you to us. The Critters will refer you to us. A lot of the vets will refer you to us. So don't feel like, you know, you have to ask what's going on. We can definitely, somebody will get you to us, and we will help you. Okay?
Awesome.
Any other questions?
Can I add something?
Is sure.
On?
No,
it's not on. I can't.
Just hold the power button down.
How about now? No?
I think so.
I'll just yell.
Yeah. It's slower.
Okay. It's a great thrift shop, by the way. I spend a lot of money there. I give them my stuff. Sometimes I accidentally buy my own stuff back. But it's a great thrift shop. Lots of fun things to buy. Their hours are 10 to 3, Tuesday through Saturday. So you got to remember that. It's a little bit limited, but it's a great job.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next. You got anything, Liz, or have you exhausted yourself?
Used up my time.
Students, anything? First row? Second row? Back there? Gallery? Final row? Danny, you got anything? Okay, all right. That concludes public presentations. Thank you. All right. Now, on to staff announcements. It's your turn.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's been a while since I was up here, so since we didn't have a meeting last month, I have a few things to go over. As far as the director's report, I'll touch on a few things. Our rescue program sent 165 animals to rescue partners in the month of September. Our foster program saw 87 new animals enter the foster care program. We have hit our 1,000 animal mark for the year, which is sort of a high water. It was a goal of last year's foster care program statistics, and we made it again this year. So foster program is still going strong. Trap and release program, since inception, 6,322 cats have been altered through the TNR program. It's considerably more than that now, because we still haven't seen a downturn in the amount of cats that are entered through the TNR program. It's not surprising, but you would think that if you're fixing 6,300 cats, that eventually you'd see.
It's a big count.
Very count. But if anybody knows the statistics, and I'm sure I did say statistics, didn't I?
Statistics. It's statistics.
Like Vicky and Larry could probably tell me the statistics of how many offspring a single female cat can produce.
More than we'd like.
If you multiply that number times 6,322, it gets astronomical. So hopefully we're making an impact out there. And I like seeing those statistics every month I'm approving. Our vaccine clinics are still going strong. One thing I wanted to touch on, again, it's been 2 months since I've been up here, is that the county now does offer at the vaccination clinics the canine influenza vaccination for a cost. That is to all residents, city or county. I think the $10 charge is what we're charging. But we have not seen any cases of canine influenza in Kern County anymore, but it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away. They are still. I don't have the statistics about how many we have sold, but when we put the press release out, we had a pretty good response from the public. Adoption in the month of September, so 539 animals go to their new family homes through adoption. Year to date, 4,065 animals have been adopted. Just something to add on to that, being with the department for as long as I have and seeing the euthanasia numbers where they have been in the past, it's always a sort of a feather in our cap sometimes when we're able to see the number of animals that get adopted surpassing the number of animals that get euthanized. And last year we ended up the year with considerably more animals that were adopted, not just live outcomes, just adopted, than euthanized. And we just passed that point this year, so it was
good.
And you never want to celebrate that you're putting animals down, but still, I think that's we met that point earlier this year than we did last year, and I think we try to build on little things like that. 15 cats were adopted through Petco locations. We still do have cats at our Petco locations. We did have, as is often the case, a promotion in the month of September. Road dogs, $40 dogs, $15 cats. It'll pretty much always be $40 dogs, if not less than that. We actually did try a promotion in September, too, which is not in here. We had a $5 Friday adoption promotion for cats, because we just had an influx of foster returns and adoptable cats, and it went swimmingly. We saw a lot of animals go out on that Friday. And actually, that following Saturday, we had another adoption event that was $20 dogs and $10 cats, and that was sponsored by Coldwell Banker, and that was even better. I think we saw 75 adoptions just on that Saturday alone. So those 2 days combined, we saw over 100 animals get adopted. And it was really an awesome thing because, and I'm going to get to it in a minute, but we hired a new veterinarian. Her name is Dr. Wilson, and she's been working with the shelter to get to the point where, and we've always been this way, sort of reactive to adoption interest. And what I mean by that is if somebody expresses an interest, we put the animal into surgery, and then we give the animal to them. Whereas we always want to get to the point where somebody expresses an interest and adopts the animal and takes it home, because it's already fixed and it's ready to go. So we had worked with the shelter staff and the medical staff to start getting out in front of the game, and we did, to the point where every animal in the adoptable area was fixed. But then we had a problem. We had a bunch of altered animals, and we needed to go somewhere. So we had an adoption event, and they all got adopted. And I had an empty room, and then we... So it's an interesting development to see all the animals leave all at once.
That's fun.
Our volunteer hours in the month of September, volunteers donated approximately 2,526 total hours. That's equivalent to 14 and a half staff members. The value that's been given back to animal services by volunteers so far this year is approximately, the value is approximately $59,513. I would like to say we, Jeff and his team, along with council and Blake and myself, we worked with San Joaquin Valley College to develop an MOU and an externship program at Animal Services. So we started just because they had a class that was starting sooner than we were able to get documentation sent to the board. We started with volunteers. So we have three students from San Joaquin Valley College that are at the shelter 2 days a week right now. 2 days a week, right? Yes. And they're in surgery Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that's helping our medical team immensely. And then that program's going to grow, because right now it's just a few staff members. But as we become an externship site, which the way the San Joaquin Valley College's Art Registered Veterinary Technician program works, it provides the education, but then they need 2 years of on-the-job experience in order to get their license.
Right.
So as an externship site, we would be able to provide that 40-something hundred hours that they have to satisfy, which means that we would have probably 6 to 8 students in our facility 4 days a week, 6 hours a day, to be able to rely upon, not only to give them the education that they need to satisfy the requirement, but also to provide services for the shelter animals at no cost to us. So it's a pretty good partnership that we're working towards.
Great.
Alternately, we also worked with California Indian Manpower Consortium, I believe it's called. It is an organization that, much like the Employment Preparation Program works in the county, the California Indian Manpower Consortium supplies Native American individuals in a work program to learn how to do a job. So we've entered into an agreement and partnership with them, and I think starting in November, we're going to get one full-time employee at no cost to the department. So that's another good thing that Jeff and his team are working on.
Fantastic.
And he's got some other things that he's working on, too, which I'm going to talk about right now. Maybe next month. Field services saw a total of 1,286 calls for service in the month of September. We had an all-staff meeting on Tuesday, and I brought up a statistic that was interesting. This calendar year to date, from January 1st to October 12th, I think was the date that I provided the statistics, we've run 1,000 calls less for service this year than we did last year.
Really?
And about the same 1,000 calls less than we did the year before.
Oh, wow.
It's tough to really draw a conclusion about why that is. That's a considerable amount of calls. Honestly, it's 100 calls less a month.
Mm-hmm.
The field staff seems to think it's because there's less animals loose. But it's tough to really draw a conclusion as to why that is. I probably have to break it down and find out which calls sort of seem to be coming in less. But something to keep an eye on for our staff. 14 dogs were returned to their owners in the field in the month of September. 56 dogs were secured on property by animal control officers in the month of September. Another statistic that was pretty interesting is we have seen about 170 more animals returned to owner this year than we had last year.
That's good, too.
So that's field services. That's our volunteer team, the pet detective team that's working hard getting animals photos and information out on through Facebook and the web. A few other things I wanted to touch on. We have a new spay neuter offering that we rolled out today, actually.
Yeah.
Press release hasn't come out yet. We're going to do a little social media, but we did start it today. It's called Save the Titties. So what we're doing is... So year-to-date, the county's been responsible for euthanizing about 1,900 dogs. 820 of those 1,900 dogs are pit bulls. Far and away more than it. 45% of the animals we're putting out are pit bulls. I think the next closest is a chihuahua, and it's somewhere around 190. It's obviously a problem that needs to be addressed. So the Save the Titties program is a voucher program. It covers the entire cost, just like the regular county vouchers, but there's no copay for the animal owner. Anybody who owns a pit bull, it's a county resident, can come down and receive a spay and neuter voucher to get their animal halted. There's several participating veterinarians, not the whole list like the regular general $20 vouchers are, but Cruz without limits is one. That was me. But that's called Save the Titties. There's some flyers in the back there if anybody wants to disseminate them on their own. Feel free to call me if you want to get that flyer emailed to me, and I'd be happy to do that to disseminate that information.
You said it's county residents only?
County residents only. There is no, we're not verifying income on these.
Okay.
But it is for pit bull and pit bull type owners, and for those of us who don't like the term pit bull, neither do I, but that's a generally accepted term, and I think we all know when we see it. So free Spanier voucher for pit bulls and pit bull type dogs, and that's called Save a Pity.
What's the time frame?
Time frame.
It starts now and it ends next week.
In perpetuity.
Next week.
Okay. As long as we can get
now, you will notice that Marley's Mutt's Dog Rescue has a similar program. That is county funded as well.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's
so we were just trying to mirror the same program just to reach as many people as we can. I don't know what theirs is called, but same basic idea. We also did start last month a Barn Cat program. It was kind of circumstantial. But every year there is a number of cats that fall through the cracks. And by fall through the cracks, we can't, in good conscience at least, accept $20 for somebody to surrender a cat and then fix it and bring it back to their house. Probably could, but maybe it's complaints about that. So that usually leaves us in a case if an animal is not adoptable, but it was surrendered to us. And there are people that feel so strongly against TNR that they'll just pay a $20 fee just to navigate around the TNR program. So we had talked about for a very long time trying to put together a barn cat program. We have done so. I think we started it maybe a month ago.
You did a press release.
Did some press on it. I think we've seen 12 cats that have gone out through the barn cat program. We're hoping that we continue to see some progress. But it's another one of those small areas. We see probably about 150 cats that come in every year that just we have nowhere for them to go. So instead of euthanasia, hopefully we can take advantage of people who need green rodent control. color green.
green.
No, there's no fee. And there's a 5-cat limit, and we do some legwork to make sure we haven't been to your house because you have 90 cats. Sounds funny, but that needs to be done. Something else that's interesting, and Liz brought it up to I know AB 485 has passed. 485 is the assembly bill in the state of California that requires all pet shops to obtain those animals through animal shelters or animal rescues. I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I think that's a big step in the right direction for the state of California as far as animal welfare is concerned. And then there was another bill passed, and I don't know the number.
I think it's 491.
The state bill, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Senate bill.
Senate, yeah. And that is, for years now, you can purchase a spay-neuter license plate through the DMV, and a portion of those funds was supposed to go to spay-neuter. It's been sitting since the inception, 15 years ago or something like that.
No.
It's been about five years.
And the money hasn't gone anywhere. So there's a bill that's been signed into law by Governor Brown that's going to disseminate those funds. We did some legwork and found out that it's being governed by the California Department of Food and Agriculture, and they're going to include it in their grant process. Their grant cycle is closed for 2017, which, by the way, we've never taken advantage of and received the grant from the CDFA for $15,000 to operate spay-neuter in Kern River Valley.
Cool.
So as their grant cycle opens in 2018, we're assuming that they're going to have some new grants. And thankfully, the CDFA has some really simple grant processes.
It's really nice.
They haven't spent any money, but when they were first saying it was only the big counties that were going to get anything, the high population. And so it looks like a lot better possibilities for us.
As soon as we see what's available, we're going to be knocking on the door and hand out.
I like Liz's letter, too.
Just to touch on something I think I mentioned a couple months back, that we're working on creating a no-kill coalition in Kern County. And we put together a no-kill coalition steering committee, all these crazy terms. We do have a meeting scheduled October 26th. It's an internal meeting just to discuss where we want to go. It is going to be Critters Without Litters, Marley's Mutts, Paul Animal Rescue, Sox Rescue, which is now Meow Rescue, the Cat People, and then our very own veterinary, Dr. Wilson. So the steering committee will decide what we do next as far as events are concerned, what we want to accomplish, and what time frame. And actually, I didn't let anybody know, but I heard today that the Best Friends Animal Society will be there on the 26th just to participate in it, give some ideas and advice, since they've succeeded in L.A. County. But they're not killed. So that's good. I don't want to touch on Dr. Wilson. Since I think I've last spoken, we have hired Dr. Wilson. She has been integral in shelter surgeries. In months past, when we were talking about our former veterinarian, Dr. Ronald, it was a good point where we got to where we were no longer outsourcing surgeries other than TNR animals. Well, Dr. Wilson has ceased to outsource all veterinary surgeries, including TNR, and we did that for a number of reasons. But hopefully, we freed up Curtis and others to do more surgeries for animals that are in need. So she is averaging our medical staff is averaging 152 spay-neuter surgeries a week for about the past 7 weeks.
Wow.
And that is Dr. Wilson along with two contract veterinarians, Dr. Fleeman and Dr. Hannah. So the medical team that we have is just doing an incredible job of getting those surgeries done. It's less stress on the staff, less stress on the animals. And like I said before, we're able to get animals fixed much sooner in the process if they're available to go home right then and there. And that's all Dr. Wilson and her team. I do want to touch on also the department will be recruiting a deputy director for animal services. I think I've talked about it before. It hasn't been recruited yet. It will go to the board on November 18th, I believe. The board has to approve the creation of the position. And then at the following day, October 19th, it will go to the Civil Service Commission for the further development of the position. So right around probably the middle of December, the county will start recruiting for the Deputy Director of Animal Services.
What's the date it's on the board's agenda?
I believe it's November 18th.
Okay.
Either 17th or 18th, I'm not really specific. But I know that the following day it goes to the Civil Service Commission for completion. So, yay me. Also, if anybody knows, and I say that just in case anybody knows anybody who would like to apply for the deputy director position, that's when to look for it. Also, we have a registered veterinary technician that's been added to our budget. That registered veterinary technician was added to supplement the foster program as it grows. And we have retirement of a long-term registered veterinary technician in the department, Laura Beaver. She's retiring in December.
Oh.
So we have two RBT positions that are going to be available. So if anybody knows anybody, not to pull anybody away from anybody that may be in this room.
No worries.
Please encourage them to apply. The position is open for recruitment right now, and we've only received one application that's been open for 3 weeks. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. A few other things that we're working on. We have been in communication with the Virtual Obedience and Training Club. To develop a training program that's sort of managed in-house to offer folks who are intending to surrender their animals for behavioral reasons an alternative, no-cost alternative, to obtain training to try to navigate around that what they feel is a need to surrender their animals. So it's kind of the start of being able to address issues that are creating the need for people to surrender their animals. So,
are you still calling the retention program Happy at Home?
Yes, ma'am.
Cool.
We also are moving towards more, it seems like every day, emergency preparation. We're working with the Tehachapi extension of the Central California Animal Disaster Team. Mm-hmm. To locate a fully stocked disaster trailer in the Tehachapi Mojave area and allow the Tehachapi branch of the CCADT, CCAP, as I said, access to that trailer for a quick response in cases of a disaster. So I think I've maybe touched on this before. We're using some of the grant funding that we received from the Petco grant earlier this year to purchase disaster supplies and trailers. And those trailers will be located in those three separate areas. You have the Kermit Valley, Mount Communities, and the Tehachapi Mojave area. For quick response. So we're working on disaster preparedness, it seems like, every day, even when disasters are hitting, like last week. And last but not least, the county, if you haven't noticed or not, the county, headed by the Kern County Libraries, is having a Heart Park at Night, or Heart Park After Dark event. The date is escaping me at this point.
Saturday.
Is it this Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This Saturday, I think it's October 21st, yeah. So the Sheriff's Department will be there, just offering services to the public, The libraries will be there with all kinds of books and events and stuff like that. The reason why I bring it up is because animal services will be there, and we're going to be offering spay neuter vouchers while we're there. So it seems like a kind of fun thing to do, hopefully. And animal services will be represented.
What time?
I believe it's 6 p.m. until 8 p.m.
I think it's 5 to 8.
5 to 8? Yeah. That sounds really super fun, and we were invited, so recently we decided to be there. Actually, I have one more thing. In July, we did apply for a Petco grant in an amount of about $95,000 to supply the shelter with three full-time staff members to further manage the development of the foster program. And I'm waiting to hear back. It should be any day now if we receive that grant. So hopefully next month I'll have some really good news. That concludes my director's report, and I can answer any questions.
I have a question concerning the trailers.
Yes.
Do you have specifics as far as the size and what the contents are going to be?
We've developed an internal list of the supplies that we need based on our responses in the past and based on some recommendations from CCAT. But as far as the trailers are concerned, we're looking for something 8x10 or 8x12.
Okay, have you looked to AKC at all? Because they are...
We have not.
Okay.
And actually, Mr. Blake Smith, our business manager, is in task with locating and purchasing...
AKC?
I will send you information.
Thank you.
Because they have a program where they are putting trailers out in disaster areas for communities. So, yeah, we'll hook you up.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Are you having a celebration for Lori?
There is an internal
okay, going on. I should make sure you are. Okay.
And she's an registered veterinarian. She was the initial.
She was the first. She's
been there from the first
RBT. She was the first medical person.
Yeah.
She worked by herself for quite some time. She's been with the department for probably 11 years now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 12 years
now.
Mm-hmm. I love
she's
her.
She's been able to see the development of the department. She's sad to go, but he's happy about her.
A party is well deserved.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And it's on December the 9th.
Cool. Okay.
Anybody else? Questions?
I've got a few questions. By the way, I like the innovative things I see going on, like San Joaquin Valley College. I don't know whose idea that was. That was a great idea. Is that Jeff's idea?
Yes.
Jeff, you're a genius. Okay. I mean, there's more of that kind of stuff out there, but I mean, what a great way to, where it's a win-win deal for the school, the students, and for you as a department. I like all the volunteers that I see here. What is there, like 16 department heads in the county, or 14, something like
that? In the 20s.
Oh. How many is there? More than that? Okay.
Maybe 20.
How many of them get volunteers?
Just a handful.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. There probably isn't very many. And nothing to the tune that you're getting.
No, and that's kind of why the county's tapped into Jeff and his brain. bringing more volunteers to the county in general.
Well, it's the backbone of any organization, like I've been saying for a while. But, I mean, it really is really
struggling.
Did
you say that before?
I have said it a couple times. It's true words, of course. But anyway, I think it's great, this innovation, and then this new, the new vet, as innovative as the previous one was, I thought she was pretty good. This new one is really taking the stage.
Yeah, Dr. Wilson has been
really getting with it.
You have no idea what she's talking about.
No,
yeah.
I'd like to meet her. Has she been to a meeting?
Yeah. Not last month, but the month
before. Okay.
Yeah.
But 152 space. Space per week.
Average, yeah.
Is that pretty much capacity, or can you do more than that?
I don't think we'd be able to get more.
That's pretty much capacity.
That's a nice number.
That's really good. That's really, really good.
It's nothing like Vicky and Larry are pumping out over there.
No. But I mean, compared to what it was 6 or 8 years ago, which was not very much.
No.
It's what a huge turnaround. So I like the return to ownership. I like touching on that. That was excellent. As far as the numbers I noticed here on the rescuing of the cats, normally when you see a lot of rescues, it's been dogs, it seems like, most in the past. But this year, we had 546 year-to-date versus 303 in 2016. What do you attribute that to? Is there rescue?
Prospecting. Socks Rescue.
Socks.
Okay.
It's a rescue. It's pretty much one of the only.
I've never heard of them. Okay.
They're called Meow.
They're actively pull cats from the shelter.
Good.
And they've been a blessing for the most part. Yeah.
Commissioner, they were here, I want to say, in the springtime.
Yeah. March. They came and showed up
and made
March.
A presentation.
Actually, it was actually November.
November of last year. Okay.
And they also had a presence at the mega adoption in April, too.
Okay. Well, anyway, they're doing a great job. You can see the numbers don't lie. I mean, it's an 80% increase year to date over a year ago, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I like the fostering. You know, I've always thought we should have expanded that a long time ago, but we're doing it now. And so.
Yeah, the foster program, we still have probably about 1,250 cats a year that could be saved through foster program that we're not able to right now.
Just can't get enough foster parents?
It's more along the lines of, we have really one, maybe one and a half staff members that manages the foster program and not enough medical to see all the animals coming back from foster. So it's kind of at its max. And so what that means is that our foster care coordinator has to be very discerning with what animals she seeks foster for and which ones she doesn't. So as the program expands, and by expands we mean staffing bodies to manage the program, we'll be able to take animals that we wouldn't be able to take now. Maybe animals that come in that have goopy eyes and upper respiratory. Some animals are going to take some more resources to stay on top of. So that 1,250 number sticks up in our head. That's kind of a lot of ground we want to be able to make up.
I've done it a couple times. It's a very rewarding deal when you foster little babies that can't do anything for themselves. So I think it's wonderful for those people that can do it. And I hope these numbers do nothing but grow. Also on the billboards, I get a lot of comments, positive comments on these billboards around town, especially the one on Oak Street going over the overpass and whatnot. A lot of exposure. I've always believed in billboards. I think you get the most bang for the buck advertising on billboards more than anything. So I get a lot of compliments on the billboards. Of course, I take all the compliments, but I'll take them. Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah.
No, but I think they good exposure and good bang for the buck. So that's excellent. I know you were partnering with Marty Smuts on part of those.
We worked together to develop those billboards. The county shared the cost for half of the billboards at the outset, but at this point it's all Marley's Munts that's doing all of those billboards. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay. I know we're 2 years into a five-year plan for no-kill, which means 90%. And I know we had a wild summer of temperature and everything else wise. I don't know what numbers. Have you crunched the numbers for year to date on the save rate? Have you crunched those numbers? I crunch them every week. But
it depends how you calculate it, but yeah. It was 68%, 70%, somewhere around.
Something like that, okay. I know that you've been trying a million different things, like the $5 cat idea. I mean, it's good that when you see a situation, you can change and just say, hey, we're doing a special right now. I like that. That's reacting to the need, that's being innovative, not having to wait for someone to say, oh, it's okay to do that, you're just doing it. And that's really what you do when you have lives in your hands. So kudos to you and Lisa. So great job on that. So I think it's good. I mean, we're trying to get to 90, and I don't know what we can do to help you get there. I mean, I see a lot of great things going on, and innovation, and externships, and billboards, and we're doing a lot of great things.
Like I said all along, I mean, the programs that we come up with to get animals out of the shelter alive, mm-hmm. are more or less a band-aid on the problem. Until we really start seeing the fruits of Spanier and what Curtis is doing.
That's really the trick.
We're really just plugging holes in the dam.
You are. But I mean, the stemming the tide is really the key. Yeah. And having 4,300 animals fixed, I think, is remarkable. Like I said, 1,000. That's what I said. So that's remarkable. So anyway, congratulations to your group, Larry and Vicky. So anyway, that's all my comments. Thank you.
One question. Are you going to continue to work with the RLP in the next semester, Jeff? Are they going to come in
at all?
I would think so.
Okay. Cool.
The regional occupation.
Yes, for animal care. Mm-hmm. And then I think they're starting construction on the new facility here pretty
far. Are
they? Yeah.
I know Jeff is also working on communicating with the Bakersfield College campus to find out about their
RLP. Yeah, because they're tied in with RLP now. You know, they're part of the HT program or something. So. Awesome. Well, thank you.
There you go.
Good job. Let's see here. Do I need a motion to receive and file?
I make a motion to receive and file.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Amen. All righty. On to commissioner announcements.
We don't have volunteers.
We're going through update.
Oh, I'm sorry. Volunteer update. Jeff?
I did that. That was the volunteer.
Okay. Spender update. You did that, right? Or
Blake?
Oh, okay. Sorry, Blake. Didn't mean to cut you out.
Good evening, I'm Blake's business manager, aka EDI bean counter. We are off to a good start on the year on utilizing the $250,000 in funding. For those of you who aren't aware, the Board of Supervisors gave us an extra $250,000 for the last, we're on the fourth year now. To do low cost spay neuter, to do low income spay neuter programs to help people get their animals spay or neutered so that they cease and desist producing geometrically. And we've been working on that so far this year. We have done, the year begins July 1. So the effective July 1, we are at 664 animals that have been spay or neutered. And so we're off to a good start. Usually with the $250,000, are usually able to get about 4,000-ish a year. So that helps. And our vouchers, we charge $20 for the voucher, and that covers the cost of the surgery. And we have we run about this so far this year we're running about an 83% redemption rate, so people are using the vouchers. Any questions?
Is the trust fund with the licensing money still being used in that direction?
Yes, I've set aside. Looks like $35,000 from the trust fund this year to be utilized, and that'll be when the $250,000 is done. Then we'll throw in the other $35,000.
Just for our students' information, okay, I'm gonna make this thing work. Mm-hmm. Okay, still not working.
No.
Okay, I'll email. Look, Nick's messing with it over there. Several years ago, the ordinance was changed so that a portion of licensing fees go into this trust fund that helps to pay for spay-neuter funding as well. So that's why he's talking about an extra trust fund of money.
Yes, when you license your dog, we take 10% of the licensing revenue and we put it in the trust fund for spay-neuter. So it's good. We're working with Marley's Mutts. They're doing the work that nobody else wants to do. They're getting people to go out to Mojave and Rosamond and Boron, and they're getting massive numbers of female pit bulls spayed so that we can because when you get out into the outlying areas, there are no services, there's no way to get, it's extremely difficult to get to get to a veterinarian when you live in Boron, Mojave. And a lot of times the ones that are out there are extremely expensive. There are so few vets in the area, they can pretty much charge whatever they want, and people will pay it rather than having to drive all the way to Bakersfield to get their animals cared for. So, you know, gotta love them for that. They're doing what nobody else is willing to do, pretty much. So, anything else?
Blake, you did use the license fund last fiscal year, did you not?
Yes. We had $40,000 last year, and we utilized all of it.
I was going to say you depleted it. So I think this is an indication of the demand.
Yes.
And our ability to meet it. And it was, you know, we were looking forward when we lobbied for that 10%. The city has yet to do that, even though I've talked with them a number of times. On your report, can you explain under voucher redemption rate of 83%, vouchers outline and vouchers targeted area? Does that mean that 40% of the vouchers in the outlying area are used and
no.
only 40%?
Okay, so what that says, so that those are actually three separate statistics that are unrelated.
Okay.
So our overall redemption rate is 83%. So the vouchers in the outlying area, I sort it by zip code, and I take 93301, you know, through like
14,
and I take out one of them. I don't remember which one it is, 12 or one of those. There's a couple. I think one of them is Pumpkin Center. I don't consider that. I'm in the metro area, I consider that outline.
And 07 is huge.
Yeah. And but I consider that that's part of the metro though. So I use that. And so of all the total number of vouchers, 40% of them were redeemed by people that live in these rural communities, more rural communities.
That's a good number.
Yeah. And the targeted number, the targeted area is in the When we began the big push for spay neuters in Kern County, and we were first given the $250,000, we had a big community meeting, we got everybody together, and it was determined that the biggest problem that we had were in 93306, 93307, and 93308. And so as you can see, 41% of the total of the vouchers come from those three zip codes. And if you also look at the TNR number, 60% of the animals that are trapped, neutered, and returned that go through our TNR program are in those three zip codes. So, and sadly, we still haven't even scratched the surface. There's so many feral cats in those three zip codes that it's ridiculous. So hopefully it's going to start easing off on us in the near future.
Mention the x-ray machine.
Oh, I'm so excited. We finally got an x-ray machine.
You did! Yay!
And Dr. Wilson has written all the protocols, and she's got everybody set up, and all of the RVGs know how to use it, and they're doing x-rays, and we're hoping that it'll start saving us all kinds of money for imaging. And there's two issues that I saw. The cost of outsourcing to local veterinarians was extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. And we are taking injured animals and we're throwing them in the back of a dog truck and we're driving them across town to get an x-ray. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of those cases, they would get them to the vet and they would take an x-ray and euthanize the animal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was irremediably suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so we took a suffering animal and we made it suffer longer while we drove it across town to get an x-ray. Mm-hmm. So we're saving, so, you know, and so the dollar savings is there, the wear and tear on the animals, and it frees up employees to stay in the office and in the shelter and work there instead of driving injured animals around town. Yeah. It's just,
makes more sense.
It's one of those things where I'm like, and I have to thank Dr. Arnold for this, she's the one that said, I'd like an x-ray machine. And I started looking at it and I went, why haven't we done an x-ray machine a long time ago? And so, and they put me through hell to get it. By the time I got the thing in, I was so done. I was like, I never want to do this again. I've never seen a group of people who take something and make it so difficult.
We feel our pain.
Yeah. And I told a friend of mine about what I was going through, and he's a medical student at Kern Medical, and he said, "This is exactly why I hate government."
You got a question over here.
Any questions?
Did you raise your hand? No, you didn't. No. Don't even fix your hair around.
You said that by the time before you got the x-ray machine, by the time that you drove the animals across town to where there actually was an x-ray machine, they had to euthanize the animal because it was in so much pain or suffering. Will this lessen the amount of animals and get euthanized, injured animals that you pick up?
I don't know the answer to that. That's going to be hard to say. A lot of times in those situations, when they come in, they've been injured so badly that no one can really fix them. Mm-hmm. And, it would be... That's a hard question to answer accurately. I could pull a number out of the sky, and that's what bean counters do. But I wouldn't really want to do that. So,
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Blake. Okay, so I need a motion. Thank you, Blake. All in favor? Any votes? All right. Okay, now. Sure, whatever. Okay. Now I sound like Commissioner Fury. Last meeting, we talked about the pet detective program, and I noticed that they had presence at the pet fair. I was wondering how that went. Were people supportive of the program there?
Yes.
Okay, good. And you said you were looking for a volunteer coordinator. Have you gotten that court squared away?
We already have a volunteer coordinator. He's scared deaf.
What's going on?
There's something we haven't told you about.
Oh, did I not tell you that, Jeff? We got to talk after. We were looking for like a program manager for the Pet Detective Program to replace John Harrer, who had developed the program. To my knowledge, we haven't found anybody. There's a gentleman by the name of Simran who's doing a really good job of managing the program, him and several others. But to my knowledge, we haven't found anybody to kind of own that program.
And then one of the things I was asking about last time was something on the website to indicate that says something like, "Have you lost or found a pet?" Click here, and it goes, to the pet detective program, or sends an email or something to let the public know that that's a resource, that if they found or lost an animal, they can communicate with the pet detective. You said you were going to put something on the website, so I'm holding you accountable for that.
If and when the county finishes the department's new website, that will be part of it, yeah.
Because, out in the community, that's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. I found an animal, I lost an animal, so. Yay on the x-ray machine. Congratulations. That's usually my monthly question. And then I just kind of want to share something with all our students, because it's great to have your minds here. Most commissions and boards and city council meetings are not nearly this friendly. So be aware, they're usually kind of stuffy and cold. The board of supervisors is a little bit friendly, but city council is definitely kind of stuffy and cold. So yeah, I'm just going to be honest, right? You guys know that. excuse me, planning convention, it's a little questionable. Anyway, so just be aware. Usually you can't raise your hand and ask questions and stuff like that, but we try to be comfortable here. We're all
pretty lax, actually.
Yeah. We're all here kind of for the same reason, so it's a little bit more relaxed. So just FYI. The other thing is our commission, which is going to lead me to my next issue. It's a great tie-in. This commission was created, 8 or 9 years ago?
And
at the time, seems so much longer.
Yeah. I know, but it wasn't a commission until about 2000.
During those times, the county animal services was considered the devil. and mm-hmm. you know, nationwide.
Dog pound.
Yeah, it was the dog pound. Nationwide had the highest, one of the highest kill rates in the nation, and so this commission was created to oversee and support and provide guidance for animal services. Janice and I are one of the, well, Janice is the oldest one, not in years. She's been on the commission since the beginning, and I went on the commission shortly after that. And we really were dogged towards Nick's predecessors, many predecessors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thanks to them, thanks to this commission, thanks to the community, you know, things were changed dramatically. Now, Kern County Animal Services is receiving calls from other parts of the country. How are you getting your adoption rate so high? Am I correct? Yeah. So it's been a remarkable change. So that's why what you see up here is more of a community coming together, supporting what's going on, and a gratefulness that we've been able to make this progress over all these years. So it's no longer, did you take care of this? What about this? Did you do that? How come you haven't done this? And that's what we did a lot at the beginning, mm-hmm. a lot of that. And
We had to.
And then, but, you know, it change was remarkable and unbelievable, the difference that's happened over all these years. Which leads me to my next point. A couple of months ago, I don't remember when exactly, I think it was while I was out for medical issues, there was some discussion about changing the frequency of meetings to every other month, which... says to me, you know, we kind of met our goal and we don't really need to be here as much. And I would agree with that. We have met much of our goal and the department is doing a fantastic job. Community is supportive. Everybody's working together. So what I would like to propose, and I'm sure our attorney over there will tell me what we can and can't do, because she always does. But I would like to propose or maybe challenge everyone that's active in our community, everyone on our commission, to start looking at kind of a reinvention of the commission and how we can be of more service to the department rather than just reading reports every month and saying, yay. I mean, that's good. I like that. And I like to hear what's going on because I think that's a great... value of this is that we find out what's going on. We can share information with each other. It's a great opportunity for that. But I think we're a resource that can do a lot more to support the commission and support the volunteers and support the community. This phone that made noise, this is my old Galaxy S2 that was on a shelf in Filthy Gertie, but it had a list in here that I had made when early in my commission days, and that's why I brought it, because I forgot about that list. And I wanted to look at it to see some of the things that I thought we could do. And to be honest, some of them, I don't even know what I was talking about when I wrote the list. But there are a few things on there that we still could do as a commission, so I wrote a few of them down. And I just would like input from other people on things that we could do to revitalize this commission, other than showing up once a month and going, yay. One of the things that was in my old Galaxy S2 was branching out into the African American community. I don't see anybody here that's African American, at least I can't identify it. I don't recall the last time we had an African American person at one of our commission meetings. And we had talked many years ago about getting involved with the ministers, the black church ministers. I don't know what the correct term is. Excuse me if I say it wrong. Because that's really how you make inroads into that community, because they're all very church-oriented. So that's one issue that I was thinking about. Another thing is that it would be really, I mean, this would be each of our ideas, but to go to the shelter, talk to not just Nick, but talk to the staff and find out, you know, what things can we bring together and help create for the shelter. I don't know what kind of strategic planning the department does, but maybe getting involved in some of that. Or I've done a lot of strategic planning work with other organizations. I'd be happy to, you know, help provide my resources for that. Participate in the no-kill steering committee. I think that's exactly something we should be doing. I don't think that's even a no-brainer. And then figure out what other agencies we could collaborate. I mean, we collaborate with a lot of different groups and agencies, which is really commendable. But I think it could be done more, and I think we could help you doing that. And then the last thing is find some kind of avenue where we can communicate with the city on our level. I have some ideas about how that can be done, but I just want to challenge everybody to think about all those things. If anybody out there has an idea of what we can do, I'll have to run it all through the lawyer.
But why they pay me the big bucks?
Not. And she knows I love her and I hate her.
Really, Jim?
No.
That's because she's the liar.
But maybe if we could put it on next month's agenda, something like the reinvention of the commission, and talk about maybe a couple of subcommittees we could create to address some of these kinds of issues that we've never touched on, and kind of look into the future. I know Nick said to me, it's about a year ago, he goes, where do you see animal services in about 5 years? And I'd been retired about a year, and I turned my brain off, And I looked at him like, oh, man, that's a good question. I feel really dumb, But that's really kind of some of the things that we need to look at as a commission, because our goal is to guide and to provide support to the department. So anyway, that's the end of my speech. I will give you my email address. I'll write it down for anybody who's interested who wants to send me info, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
I'm
saving
mine.
You're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything?
Okay. I got something.
Okay.
I want to let the group know that our good friend, our manager of Petco on Gosford, Aaron Malloy, who's been here a couple of times, he's quit and he's got another job. I talked to him. It was an offer he couldn't refuse, unfortunately. I met his replacement, a young lady, I forget her first name. Hopefully she'll pick up the speed and go on. I was noticing there's only 15 cats adopted as both Petcos combined during the month of September. We've got 6 cubbies at each spot. Are we going over there each week or twice a week or not?
We don't have 6 cubbies.
There's only 2 cubbies at the Rosedale location.
Only 2?
Yes, and I'm not sure. Are we getting all 6 at Gosford now, or are we still down to 3?
I thought we were down to 4.
Or 4.
Yeah.
And then we only have 4 at Gosford.
Oh, okay.
There's only 4. There were 6 before.
There was.
There's other organizations who are keeping cats at those.
I think one of them was non-functional.
Yeah.
Well, it's not exactly too bad. I mean, there's still cats that are being adopted. They just may not be
our cats.
Well, just in 15 is way below their average, I think, for a month.
And the catch 22 is that when you see the increase in the amount of cats that are leaving through rescue,
now you know where they go.
Now you know where what's
it? Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so that was my comment. Aaron's not there anymore. I forget the lady's name that's taken over. I got to meet the area manager. You know who I'm talking about. I got to meet him and
Bill.
Had to talk with him for about an hour, but they're gung ho to help us. But I didn't realize that they were making change on the cubbies, but anyway, it's all good. But anyway, Aaron's not there anymore, and he helped us a lot, and he was very innovative, most innovative manager of a pet store I've ever seen in my entire life, as far as whatever you want, you can do it there. You don't have to be outside, we'll bring it inside. So anyway, that's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. We managed to put another responsible dog ownership day to bed. You guys weren't there. You were there.
We were there.
You were there.
Yes.
So we
had. It was a lot more. We received a lot more requests for vaccinations than we thought we would.
Right. That's what I understood.
It was busy.
For those that don't know, American Kennel Club Responsible Dog Ownership Day has been something that was started 15 years ago by the American Kennel Club, where they reached out to communities and asked for them to create an educational event to help within the community. So we've been sponsoring it for all 15 years. And it's been a collaborative between the city, the county, rescue organizations in town, a lot of nonprofits that are animal related. And so we just put another one to bed, and we're already working on the next one. So we normally have it on the first Saturday in October every year. So something to look forward to. That's it for me. Yes, we're good? Okay. Old business. Staff referrals. You don't even have them, right? Okay, so Emergency prep.
So the Central California Animal Disaster Team has to be fishing. My God, that piece of shark. We've been busy. We were on standby for two fires, but did not deploy, which is always good. We have collecting, meeting with people and getting more community partners. So far, we have Tehachapi PD, Kern County Sheriff's, Bear Valley PD, Stein PD, City of Tehachapi, the Rodeo Association, Tehachapi School District, and CERT. So we've got a lot of backing behind us, which is really good. So we're still working on more. And as Nick said, you know, we're working on the trailers, which means we need to start doing some training for more volunteers, especially if we're going to different areas. So we're going to, because of the fires and our main office is up in Fresno where everything was on fire this summer, they got put behind. So we're going to look at doing some training possibly in November, and I'll give it to Nick to put out once we figure out a date, and I'll put it every place I can think of on the web. And let me see. I think that's it for that. Can I just jump into new business?
Do we have to receive and file?
You don't have to receive and file. You might ask for public comment, though.
Okay. Do we have questions for Commissioner Geary on emergency prep?
I got a question.
Okay.
With the fires going on up in Santa Rosa and Napa and all around there, were there any calls to your group for help and
yes.
resources?
Yes.
Because that was a terrible fire.
But we're,
I guess it's still
going on. We have to be really careful. The calls go with how it works. It goes through the president, Naomi Flam, up in Fresno, and then it will go to Nick, and then it would come to me.
Okay.
Or vice versa, depending on who makes the call. But we don't want to take away. We only have, right now, we have meetings every month, but we only have about 12 strong volunteers. So we're really afraid to take any of our people away,
okay.
considering what could happen here. So until we get bigger. But she did, I believe she had a couple people go out to Santa Rosa. But there's a lot of volunteer groups offering to go out there. Red Rover, I think, is one of them. But yeah, it's terrible.
Well, I mean, the statistics are scary on what happened up there. It was just amazing with the wind and everything. I heard that it was a football field every 3 seconds it was going up. That's how fast this fire was moving.
There's a thing on Facebook that shows before and after, and it's just really.
But there's still a lot of wind that they didn't make.
I was talking to a friend of mine with the winery. He says the grapes weren't harvested in
thousands of
But they said there's still a lot of wineries that are okay.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank God.
All right, thank you.
Now I have a question. Oh, yes, go ahead.
I had a question for you, Ms. Anderson.
Uh-huh.
About what you were talking and promoting, working with AKC.
Yes.
Can you verify exactly what you do with them?
Well, the American Kennel Club is a non-for-profit organization. Yeah. And so part of their mission, in addition to, you know, the registration and protection of purebred animals, is to do outreach into the communities. They do a lot of disaster preparedness stuff, like I said earlier, where they've actually got trailers that they're commissioning and putting into communities so that they're there when they need them. With the Responsible Dog Ownership Day, that's an educational opportunity for our community, for the community members to come in and participate. Ultimately, our goal is to reach people that are maybe first-time pet owners or have never had a pet and are considering one, and trying to provide educational opportunities for them on where they can obtain the animals, how they can care for them properly, training, all those kinds of things, so that people understand that an animal is a responsibility.
I was, this is just a comment on that. I was at an event, I think it was last weekend, downtown, and they were there as a vendor just promoting the responsible ownership.
That was
I was just wondering.
Was it at Mill Creek Park?
Yes.
Yeah, that was okay. Us. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. She was promoting a no spay and neuter, like telling people to not spay and neuter their animals.
Who would that be?
I'm not sure. It was an older lady, and when I asked her why, she was clearly upset as to.
That's odd. I think that hard to say who it was because there was a lot of people there. But something that people do have to realize, there's a lot of animals that are spayed and neutered very young, not necessarily taking into account their breed and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so it could be that she was trying to explain to somebody about the possibility of having to wait until that animal is of an appropriate age. Now, that's not necessarily possible in a shelter-type community. But from a private standpoint of an animal owner, if you're a responsible owner and you understand the needs of your animal, then those are one of the things that you should be aware of. It's like, I have giant breed dogs. I could never, ever consider spaying or neutering them at 6 months. Their body isn't ready.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely understand.
So that could be what that was, and it was maybe...
I actually spoke to her and asked her more questions like that.
Right.
She was completely against it.
Yeah, I don't know who that could have been because everybody there that we invite are knowledgeable, understanding people that are there to provide information. So I appreciate you letting us know that, and we'll definitely keep an eye out for that kind of thing. Okay, I have one question, and it may roll into the next topic. There was a whole lot of horse ranches and cattle ranches that were affected by that fire. We have them here too.
Right.
So as the disaster prep goes on, are those large types of operations going to be addressed in the process, or is it going to be up to them to deal with?
Like the commercial?
Yeah, where you've got cattle ranches and things.
Range.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, we won't be dealing with those.
Okay. We had a whole lot of our cowboy friends that ended up going up there helping, trying to
push them out
and protect them.
Yeah, the stable type animals, yes.
Okay.
But not free range.
Okay, all right. Okay, moving on. All right, next. New business.
Okay, and I hate to end the meeting on a terrible note, but as a lot of you know, there was two fires down here recently. And in one location, over 20 livestock perished from the fire.
It's actually a total of 46 livestock. 23 of them were horses.
Yeah. 46.
46 without the goats.
Hurts my heart.
Me too.
So I wanted to know how to prevent something like that from happening again, because this was a stable environment. These animals were contained. And in most stables, like in one of the fires, there were people on site. There were owners, from what I understand, breaking the fence down to get to their animals. And there was a lot of stuff going on that was trying to help the animals. The other situation, not so much. And again, 47?
So 46 total animals. I want to say 45 pieces of livestock and one dog. And then 23 of those 46 pieces of livestock were horses that did not make it out of the corrals at all.
The horses didn't have a chance in hell.
No.
Some of them were locked up. They didn't have a chance. So in meeting with Nick, I wanted to find out what could be done to keep this from happening again. It's too late for those guys, but keep it from happening again. And apparently, the only real regulation is code enforcement, and that's not really being handled. It's, from what I understand, you're allowed to have, four horses per acre?
Yes.
And these were way over that. So
do they have to have CUPs like kennels? Mm-hmm.
We were discussing that today about what restrictions planning puts on equine, and we weren't sure at the department level. I sent an email over to planning to find out what exactly the requirements are. I haven't heard back yet. I do know that there's zoning ordinances that, like Commissioner Geary said, do not allow more than one horse per quarter acre, four horses per acre, one hoof down. But how that's enforced, I'm really not sure. So after our conversation, I reached out to planning to see what we
can. Could there even be some criminal charges?
Normally with land use violations, there's not. It's an infraction at worst.
At best, it would be a misdemeanor, most likely just a citation.
Well, that gets me to the point that if there's nothing enforceable, it kind of ties animal services' hands. So
What I'd like to do is form a subcommittee to look into the possibility of putting together an ordinance that might cover that, so that there is, like Nick said, some tools in our toolbox to be able to work off of. Because right now, it happened, it's over, it's done. I drove out there today, not pretty. And you can, driving out to that location, you can go in either direction and see the same situation ready to happen again.
Oh, absolutely. You talk about Cottonwood or Willow?
Willow's got people living
there. Well, that's just like, that's behind my house.
And if I can make a recommendation, I mean, if you're gonna sort of investigate how something, a situation like that could be avoided, or even give the department some teeth, I think we would be venturing into looking at the commercial animal facility permits that are in existence now, because the way our ordinance is, the way Title VII is written, commercial animal facility permits only applies to dogs and cats.
Right. So we could probably expand that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be easy.
Actually, that would be very easy to do. It would keep a lot of the other horse owners and 4-H people from.
So just expanding on something that already exists.
Yeah.
Much easier.
Right. It might be a whole lot easier. Right. Much easier. Yeah.
Commissioner, are you aware of any counties or any members of the commission aware of any counties, or you call them, that have ordinances concerning hoofed animals?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Exactly.
Oh, no. That's not. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
We do not want to do that. And have to Nick on one. Plagiarism is really good. Yeah. So, that's what I would like to do. I'd like to get a volunteer to help me with this, and I just have to admit, if you want to, because I mentioned it to Karen, if you don't have your hands full, then yes.
Either way, if you want to go for it, go for it. Yeah. Okay, I'll let you guys go for it.
Okay. So, I guess we need to make a motion to approve a subcommittee to look into expanding on the commercial animal facilities permit.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
All in favor?
Any opposed? All right.
Madam Chairman, we
need a name.
What do you guys want to call yourselves?
Commercial Animal Facility
Reorganization.
How about Livestock Containment Committee?
That's
all right. Bravo.
Thank you.
And I like that, the attorney's phrasing, because it might not be commercial animal facility permit.
Right.
It might be something else.
Okay.
But that's just a jumping off point.
Okay, cool. Good job. Do we need to amend our motion?
No, you can simply.
Okay. Handle it, Amber.
I'm on it.
You know, and I think that's important, because it doesn't matter if it's a horse ranch or if it's a dog kennel or just a private party that has a lot of animals. You have to be prepared for any emergency. You know, you have to have transportation. You have to have the appropriate, whether it's trailers, dog crates, whatever. And I don't think that's stressed enough.
Fire extinguishers or water.
Yeah, water, fire, you name it. So.
Okay.
All right, cool. All right, so, questions?
It's more of a comment about people that have their horses at stables and stuff like that. It's obviously not everybody in Bakersfield can have their horse in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
One of the girls that I work with during that time period, she had made a comment saying that where she boards her horse, the people that work there don't have access to let the horse out, that she was the only one that had access.
Yeah,
so I don't know if that's like a universal thing about all boarding facilities.
But there are situations like that that probably need to be addressed, because there should always be somebody irrespective on that property that has access to you.
So maybe just maybe some sort of suggestion for those places where, if say there's a lock, the facility has a key to that lock as well as the owner, just for emergency situations where there is a fire in your horses.
Absolutely. You know, the sad thing is that if you are depending upon somebody else to provide care or housing for your animal, then you're putting your faith in them that they have the ability to provide that, and that includes dealing with emergencies.
whether it's a vet, a fire, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think this is definitely something that needs to be addressed in a big way. Thank you. Good idea. Somebody else back there had a comment or a question? Jeff, did you have your hand up? Anybody? All right. So then I need a motion to get the heck out of Dodge.
I move with
you. Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Have a good evening. Thank you guys for coming. We hope to see you again.